And now let's talk with Matt Patterson. He is with Compounder, and Matt is actually an ETF designer, and he's got two brand new ETFs that have just started trading from last week. One is CPAG, C-P-A-G, and the other is C-P-H-Y. And now we'll get into what they do, because it's rather magical. Imagine if you could invest and avoid, at least for a while, taxes on your gains, on the income. Well, they found a way to do that with bonds. Thanks for being with us, Matt. And why don't you go ahead and tell us kind of basically what your, in a nutshell, what your product is about. And congratulations on the introduction of the ETFs, because that's a long, arduous process.
Yeah, and I should specify at the outset that we are actually a creator of indexes, and we license our indexes to sponsors of ETFs, in this case, F/M Investments. So they're their ETFs, but we do provide the plumbing, so to speak. And the idea essentially was, we know that a lot of people like to invest in fixed income and don't necessarily need the income. They do it because it provides portfolio diversification, it dampens volatility, but bond interest income is taxed at ordinary income tax rates. And if you consider somebody who's living in New York or New Jersey or California, they're you know, paying 40% marginal rate on their income if they're a high income earner. And if you have a 5% bond portfolio, that's effectively taking, you know, 40% of the income you earn from that portfolio. So if it's yielding 5%, you're paying 2% in taxes and only netting 3%. And so our,
which is just usury. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Continue.
Yeah, it's all going to a good cause, I'm sure, you know, mohair subsidies and whatnot. But, you know, the thing is these people don't necessarily need the income. And so we sought out to devise a way that they can get the total return of the bond portfolios that they invest in without paying income on distributions in the near term. And the way we do that is we hold a portfolio of ETFs, sometimes just one ETF that is a bond ETF. And in the days before it goes ex-dividend, we swap that ETF out for a similar ETF that is not going ex-dividend.
So when you say going ex-dividend, you mean it's about to pay a dividend that
yes.
you can get taxed on. And so yes. you flee from it right before the effective record date of the payment of the dividend and swap it with a bond that isn't coming due for a dividend.
Exactly. And
gotcha.
Ideally that bond ETF we swap it for has a very similar portfolio. So it's going to deliver the same investment exposure as the core holding that we've swapped out of. And then after that core holding goes X and has paid that dividend, we swap back into it.
Wow.
And the objective is to earn the total return of that core holding without actually having to distribute any taxable income.
Right. Okay. Let's take a breath and put this gym in its setting for a minute, Matt, because it occurred to me the other day as I was doing some homework on all this that the biggest enemy of investing is taxes. It is the biggest drain. I mean, it'll take 20%, 30%, 40% of the gains you get, and you have no choice. And it's worse than a stock falling 20 or 30%, my gosh. And so any progress we can make in paying lower tax legally is certainly a great thing. The whole reason we have IRAs and 401ks is so that our money can be in there, you know, growing and growing without taxes being taken out every single year. It's protected, and that power of compounding lets it grow far bigger than it ever otherwise would. That's why your company's called Compounder. Okay, so pick up and tell us more about this. Now this CPAG for Compounder Aggregated Bonds and CPHY for High Yield, those are the instruments. Now, what's going on inside that ETF is I'm not really reaping that income, right? Instead, I've put money into this ETF. It's at a certain price, and I'm hoping over time the price rises. Is that what's going on here from the investor angle?
Yeah, essentially. And again, we're the index provider here. We design the actual underlying index in the methodology that the strategy follows.
Yes.
I mean, our objective, let's say you have a bond portfolio that's going to earn, 5% income. You're going to end up paying, 2% in taxes, and you're going to be netting 3. Our objective is to deliver a total return that would be the equivalent of receiving that 5%, but it's going to come in the form of price appreciation rather than distributable income.
Yes, I understand. Now, originally mutual funds came along, and the flaw in them is that I was taxed on their capital gains. Even if I didn't sell and reap any income, I actually had a tax liability. And ETFs came along to say, we have shielded you from that particular tax, and yet the tax continued on bond dividends. Is this true of other kinds of financial assets in that their dividend income gets taxed at this higher regular income rate rather than at cheaper capital gains rates or dividend rates?
In the case of equities, a lot of dividend distributions are, qualified dividend income that is actually taxed at the long-term capital gains rate, which is 20%, unless you also have the Medicare surcharge taxed. The tax drag isn't as great with traditional equity dividends as it is with fixed income interest payouts, but there is still drag there.
Yes. All right. This is kind of interesting because I do love this idea of being able to defer taxes for as long as possible. You know, a lot of times we hear in the political debate, some people say that paying taxes is almost a citizenship thing. It's you should pay more, by golly. And yet for 100 years or more, even going back to Judge Learned Hand, you have every right to pay as low taxes as possible, as legally permissible. All of Wall Street law exists to help us get around the regulations that stop us from making money and help us, avoid taxes as much as possible in a legal way.
Well, I mean, Oliver Wendell Holmes, famously said that taxes are the price we pay for civilization. But, does it really have to be that expensive, civilization?
Yes. Right. Okay. So if I invest in a bond and I'm getting the dividend income, that's getting taxed at regular rates. So I can lose like 2 of the 5 percentage points that bond was paying. But if instead I put money into the ETFs based on your indexes, I'm putting money into a fund that happens itself to be owning and trading bonds. And those 2 points of the 5 percentage points stay inside and never get taken by government, at least not for a long while. And so I'm continuing, or they are continuing to compound on top of that larger sum.
Yeah, it's effectively reinvested into the bond portfolio, except you don't have to pay taxes on it like you would with a distribution.
Right. So I avoid the whole tax hit. And my hope is that while I'm putting money today into these 2 ETFs at today's price, I'm hoping over time it goes up higher. Someday I sell at a higher price. Yes. And then what is my tax hit?
Well, then, as long as you've held it for longer than a year, you would receive long-term capital gains treatment, which is 20%, if you're in the top marginal bracket. Less than that, if your income is not as high, you could actually have 0 tax on long-term capital gains, depending upon how high your income is. And then there's always the option of holding it, until you die, and giving it to your heirs, and they would get a step up in basis, which means, tax would never be paid on the appreciation.
Imagine that. And you pass it on to your children, and tax never gets paid on the appreciation. See, if that's allowed, if that's legal, I say that it should be respected and admired and celebrated, because I'd much rather have that money go to my daughter and whoever, if she should be so lucky, her children are, et cetera, rather than going to the government to get kind of wasted away just paying interest on the national.
Well, it's even better than, an IRA. IRA lets you compound over time, but if you die and give it to your children, the government requires them to distribute out the funds in that IRA now over a 10-year period so that they can force you to pay taxes on those gains. So, this is even better.
That's heartless. I didn't know that about IRAs. Is the same true, might you know, for a 401k?
Yes. And it used to be that
It used to be, oh my gosh, so death and taxes. Oh my gosh, it is the same, one and the same now.
you used to be able to do the distributions over the estimated remaining life that you had left, and just through, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, they changed the rules, so you got to do it over 10 years.
Oh man. All right, so how hard was it to get all of this stuff approved given the regulatory environment? How long did it take? How long has this been in gestation?
Honestly, the getting it through the regulatory environment was not particularly challenging. The SEC is concerned more about disclosure and stuff like that. They're not they don't really hone in on taxes. The bigger challenge was, we started talking about this idea in 2022, and the bigger challenge was kind of convincing people that this is, something that would appeal to investors and that was worth pursuing, because it is a very simple sounding idea, and that there's a natural inclination for people to say, well, this is so simple, why isn't anybody doing it already? But a lot of the best ideas are, pretty simple, and just because nobody's done it yet doesn't mean it's not going to appeal to investors or provide benefits to them. So, like, we haven't had that big an issue, but you never know. All we're doing is what every ETF in the world already does. They're allowed to do in-kind creations and redemptions and rebalancing trades that are tax-free, and we're just, doing it in a particular way.
Right. And
With
you've
this,
automated this. This is all done by algorithm, right?
there, yeah,
Human beings
we.
deciding when to trade and when to swap in and out, looking at expiration dates or payment dates. This is all kind of automated.
Yeah, we've had a long-term relationship with NASDAQ. They actually have done a lot of work in developing the underlying index methodologies. They do the index calculation, and there's actually a lot more that goes into it than just swapping. Because one of the objectives is when you swap out of your core holding, you want to go to another holding that is going to deliver the same investment performance as your core holding. And
Right.
fortunately, the ETF space has, thousands of ETFs. There's a lot of aggregate bond ETFs. There's a lot of high yield bond ETFs. So there's a lot of alternatives that, correlate very highly with, core funds that we hold. But there's still a lot behind the scenes that goes on to the index methodology and the rules for selecting those substitute funds.
And lastly, we're coming around the final lap here, Matt Patterson. This approach now that you've come up with to swap out before the dividend gets paid, to keep deferring and deferring, what other asset classes do you hope to apply it to, and how far along are you in doing that?
We've done a lot of work on the indexing side, looking at other asset classes. And there's kind of a hierarchy of asset classes where this is more desirable than approach than for other asset classes. I think it works for any asset class that pays an income distribution, whether it's interest income or dividend income. But obviously, in the high yield bond market and in the aggregate bond market, those distributions are taxed at ordinary income, and they tend to be higher distributions than equity dividends. So there's more what we would call tax alpha there to be gained by using this strategy in those asset categories. At the other end of the perspective, equity ETFs, do pay dividends, and you could get some gains here by avoiding the dividends and not having to pay taxes on them immediately. But the savings aren't as great just because they're generally taxed at long-term capital gains rates, and the dividend rates are smaller than the interest yield on bond
On
portfolios.
bonds.
And like,
Yeah.
you look at QQQ, for example, which is an outstanding investment product, and young people should absolutely hold it. It just, the dividend yield on it just isn't that high because it's mostly, growth companies. And so there's not going to be as much juice to be had in that area.
Right. Well, it sounds like you're making bonds sexy again.
Oh, yes. I mean,
I
nothing's
mean, and because the
sexy
lower the
like
tax,
bond
the
investing.
sexier it is, baby. And I salute you on your efforts. I mean, it's so impressive when, especially when a few individual guys outside the monolith can make something happen the way you've done with the compounder and these indexes and the ETFs. Thanks so much for coming on What's Bugging Me, Matt. I appreciate it. Have a great
day.
Thanks
a lot. Thanks a lot, DK. It was a pleasure.